Oh my goodness. It's
oh
gonna be
shit,
one of
there
those
it
days.
Is this thing
Yeah.
on?
I think we're live on Instagram now as well because I managed to click over and press go live really
Are
quickly.
you good
So
to see? Yeah.
we're live, we're doing the thing. We're here doing what we're supposed to be doing. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, chipmunks and chipettes, whatever you are.
Face.
Welcome to Uncensored Radio, UCR Live, for another luscious, luscious weekend entree. The entree into the weekend. Kind of, oh, it's a little appetizer. It's filling up a little bit, going, delicious loveliness.
So it's an appetizer then.
Yeah, the little appetizer of the weekend.
I thought maybe he was having a stroke.
But... We're dipping into the weekend. We're going, oh, delicious sauce, delicious sauce. Now, we're not even going to fuck around this week because we've got news and it involves, hello, Dogsy, first of all. How you doing?
Hello.
It involves one of our very own, so she's going to shake it out first and we're going to jump
hot
in.
Load of hot topics.
Oh boy.
Now, to paraphrase a beautiful friend of ours, in the 90s, Nickelodeon was Kid Central. And that to that end, the lovely Miss Katrina A. Johnson is featured in the trailer and in the documentary, I'm going to assume, for Quiet on Set. The Dark Side of Kids TV. Now, Katrina,
yes.
let's dig deep. How long ago did this first happen, and what was it pitched to you as? Because I think it's important that people understand that.
Right. Okay. Well, I was approached. Actually, I think Jeffrey saw the first message.
You're welcome. Sorry about that. My bad.
On Facebook and Instagram Messenger. And they just said they were doing a documentary and they wanted to talk to people who grew up on Nickelodeon and they wanted to hear, you know, my side of the story and how it was. And I kind of ignored it for a good, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah.
And
wasn't the pitch.
Yeah. I was talking to Angelique Bates and she goes, well, Leon's doing it and he really wants to talk to you about it and he really thinks you should do it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Okay, fine. So I talked to Leon and he's like, yeah, I'm doing it. It's legit. It's great. You should do it. Talk to them. They're above board. They're awesome. And I was like, okay, fine. So I talked to them and then, you know, they just said it's a documentary about being on Nickelodeon, what it was like as a kid, what it was like for you. I'm like, okay, fine. Then I talked to Angelique some more and she goes, you know, I don't want to do it because I don't want it to be like some hack job piece about like some dark stuff or like pedophiles or like talking smack about Dan Schneider. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to do that either. So I told them that and I go, hey, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it. They're like, why? I'm like, I don't really want to do something that's like dark or negative. I just wanted to tell my story like as it was pitched to me. And I go, and you won't tell me what it's called. You won't tell me who else is in it. You won't tell me what the other stories are. I'm like, I'm getting a little skeeved out, so I'm going to pull out. And they were like, no, don't do that. Your story's really good. And you just tell what happened to you. We even have Virgil, your old stage manager, coming. And you can talk to him and you can see how it was for him first. And I was like, I guess that makes sense. Okay. Because Virgil would never be part of something that's like sketchy or scandalous. He's just above board, cool ass dude who was our stage manager for like, I don't know, 20 years. So I was like, okay, fine. That convinced me. And I went about, when was it? I don't know. Maybe 6-7 months ago, I think.
Yeah, it was a while. It was a while ago.
Maybe even longer. Maybe 8 months ago. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
I went, I filmed on a soundstage. I just did an interview and it was a cute little setup. It looked like I was in a dressing room and it all seemed fine. It seemed legit. It seemed above board. It seemed like what I signed on for. And I just told my story, what it was like growing up on the set. And I mean, I didn't really have bad experiences. I mean, they gave me a complex about my weight. And the boys were heavily favored. Like, but I mean, I had a great experience. And
wow, come on. It wasn't that great, right? There was issues.
I liked it. For, you know, I would do it all again in a heartbeat.
You didn't have the experience or the trauma that these other people had, but you had your own issues.
I mean, we all have our own issues, but what job do you do that you don't have issues at?
And the way that it sounds like it was pitched to Katrina is it was going to be about the experience of being on the show and like growing up in the public eye, et cetera, et cetera. And we know from conversations off air that, you know, you have your own stories about things, which we're not going to talk about now, but that are just as, if not like more interest. Like I love hearing some of this. I'm like, oh, okay, girl, that's exciting. But they've kind of, you know, red herringed you into being like the mouthpiece. Like you're the first person that speaks in this trailer. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, dude, my big old mouth.
we can play that trailer now, Steve. I managed to see my magic.
Let's do that because I wanna
get into it.
I want to have a little chat with Katrina about some things about the trailer.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can play.
I want to clear some.
I don't know where it is.
It's under the videos. Okay, I'll do it from
there. If you want to press them. Okay, I've got it. Here we go. All right, here we go.
In the early 90s, Nickelodeon was kid everything. And you better hope that your house had cable.
Wasn't there to educate you. We were there to have fun, to get slime, to be entertained.
And this is when Dan Schneider arrives, Nickelodeon's golden boy. He created these shows that were hugely successful for them.
No one had ever really done sketch comedy starring kids for kids.
He launched the careers of child actors who became major stars. For 20 years, he shaped children's entertainment and culture.
Thank you for being here.
But that marked one of the darkest chapters. Working for Dan was like being in an abusive relationship. Dan's treatment of people on his shows was an open secret.
So my lawyer filed complaints, gender discrimination, hostile work environment, harassment, and it was so devastating.
How safe can any kids be in that environment? There would be even bigger problems down the line with actual pedophiles on set. These are three predators who worked at Nickelodeon, all in a short amount of time.
Hey guys, we're ready for you.
It was a toxic environment. It made me trust people less.
We were there for so many hours. You get comfortable with people until you're not. I had no idea what I was saving my son from. It's a house of horrors. They find this enormous trove of child pornography.
The officer said we found Ziploc bags, each one with a girl's name on it.
11 charges of child sexual abuse related to a child actor.
It made me wonder who was being hurt.
I've been waiting 17 years for today.
It wasn't dealing with anybody on the shows or anything, right?
It was a child actor.
On one of our shows?
Yes. Have you ever told your story publicly before?
Okay, so first of all, fantastic trailer, but the change in tone from the first half to the second half, you're like,
TV, like crying TV. Then...
Oh, we're on ID. We're definitely on ID because, you know.
Oh, man.
I didn't even know that. They told me HBO.
Oh, tricky.
But this is the thing.
IGTV, and I didn't even know that.
Like it or not, now you're pinned to this narrative, whether you like it or not. So this is your chance, you know.
Were you traumatized? Like I feel like those stories, like Steve said, it like went from like night and day. Like you weren't tied to the last part of the video, but you were in the beginning. But like I don't want to bring up anything that you obviously don't want to talk about. But like you said, like it was fine. Like I feel like you said, it was a different experience for everybody. And like I would hate to hear that anything happened to you. Like that would just be devastating. Like well, I just
think not in the whole thing because I didn't have like a dark.
You didn't have a juicy story.
Yeah, you didn't have a dark experience. Exactly. Like it's traumatizing. Yeah, like I just, that's crazy. I mean, obviously you expect it, I mean, not to happen to you, but
It's Hollywood.
And there, because I didn't see it.
And what happens behind closed doors in any job, but especially in Hollywood, you're never going to know the truth of any situation because there is so much, you know, secrecy and legality and, you know, NDAs and it's not what you know, it's who you know. If you want a career and all of that happens. Yeah. So it's a messy, bit of a messy narrative. So Jeffrey has some feelings. So about the trailer.
I just thought.
Oh, he's frozen.
Can you hear me?
You're just not moving, but it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys aren't moving for me either. Who knows? Katrina, you know, you and I have obviously had very many conversations about this, and your experience was very different from everybody else. And I think that we don't obviously know what is going to come out of this, but I think your story is very important, right? Because you did have a different experience. So can you, what are you willing to talk about?
Well, I mean, I'm willing to talk about all of it. Well, I'm not supposed to say too much about that because I signed an NDA and it's kind of ironclad, but you know, from what you know from me on this show alone, like I didn't have those terrible dark experiences that it sounds like a lot of the other people had. But my parents were very involved. My parents were always there.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was never unattended. I was never just left to my own devices. Like I always
had thank God
there protecting me, and I didn't really see anything bad.
And with your working relationship with any executives on a show?
Well, I had a very close relationship with Dan Schneider, who is mentioned throughout this trailer. He was my mentor. We did quite a few scenes together. We wrote scenes together. We produced scenes together. We even, you know, collaborated on my own TV show. And then later on, it was taken away and given to Amanda Bynes. And I was with her for years over that, the Amanda Bynes show. And then, you know, as I grew up, I was like, well, that's not her fault. She was 10. Like, she didn't, you know, she didn't do anything to be talented. So for years, I was kind of jealous and I had some animosity towards her. And then I realized, you know, I think actually things turned out great for me. I'm and a little
like meant to be. Mm-hmm.
So,
and Kitty, can I ask you, like, just direct? Mm-hmm. Do you regret now sitting down in front of that camera for this show, for this documentary?
I don't know yet.
It's hard because she doesn't. This is the thing. This is why we wanted to talk to her today. She doesn't know what the content is.
I don't know what
they've lied to her.
I don't know you guys.
Well,
your
experience doesn't negate anybody else's, but I think it's a fair thing that your experience also gets mentioned because for everybody that potentially is alleging that they had a bad experience, unless they've gone through a court of law, right? Mm-hmm. It's alleged. Mm-hmm. All the people that had fine experience, why are they not being asked to tell their story, right? Like, because
I think
we're not judging the jury. Sort of suggested that They want my story for the juxtaposition. They want to show the stark contrast of some other people's experiences, because I worked well with Dan Schneider. I thought he was great. He was a mentor to me. I thought he was wonderful.
Exactly. You thought it's so hard, especially when you have that role model, you know, relationship with someone.
I felt inspired.
Yeah.
I felt empowered. Yeah. I felt these amazing things that I have taken with me to this day. I now feel like I can go ahead and try anything I want to try. My ideas were heard. And I feel like I have a voice.
And I think it's important. Other
people's experiences were so opposite. They felt like they didn't have a voice, but I was empowered and I did have one.
And it's important to say too, like, I think that you also don't discount or don't take away anything from anybody else that had a different experience.
No, not at all. It just wasn't my experience. Right. I wasn't talking about their experience. I was just talking about mine.
Yeah.
Because so many factors play into everyone's experience. Like you said, you had parents on
set. It's a sensitive issue.
That cared about you and were looking after you. Your parents, especially when you get child stars, a lot of the focus is, I'm going to make my child famous. Your parents seem to know that, you know, your job was your job. It was making you money, but it was a job. Yes. It wasn't like sacrificing you to the machine of fame, didn't really whatever.
Want to be in the industry, they were trying to talk me out of it, and I was like, "No, this is what I'm doing. What I'm going to do."
Headstrong from day one.
I fought my way in there. They wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted to keep me away from Hollywood, away from the limelight, away from all of that hoopla. But I dove head first for it. So they had no choice but to just kind of go along with it.
Yeah.
And look, I think that's a big reason why, you know, you are so fortunate to have had the experience that you had. And it was a professional environment for you. So
also, I do know one of the other gals' story, Jeanette McCurdy, from her book. I don't know if she did a documentary or not. But it seemed like she was just doing the show to please her mom.
Yeah.
And then it was miserable for her. And she only did it just to make mom happy because it was living out mom's dream. I can see how that would be miserable, but I was very much living out my dream.
Right.
Of course. And you've talked to us about, you know, being on lunch break from the show and going and hanging out on the set of Guts and doing all this amazing stuff, meeting huge celebrities, like, you know, that came to perform on all that. There is upsides to the experience, and that is not just your story. I'm sure there are a few people that are like, oh, I had a great time, you know, it set me up, it gave me a work ethic, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just being automatically tied to this darkness, it's just like, oh my god, I can't imagine.
Well, it is horrific, and if all the things are true, right, where it talks about three pedophiles were allowed to work at a children's network, heads need to roll. Yeah.
One thing, when they were convincing me to do this show, they said, we don't allege anything. We don't say anything that hasn't been proven and isn't documented in a court of law.
And yeah,
I think they then went on to say Dan Schneider was never formally charged with any crimes.
So it's hearsay.
So, or it's somebody else that they're talking about.
And we have to wait and see, right? This is the thing that they've definitely got people hook, line, and sinker with that trailer, because this is not a small thing. Like, you're like, I don't know, it's going to be a documentary. This is on Variety and stuff.
Was in writing. There was somebody's name like underlined in writing at one point. Did anybody catch that?
I think it. It's Katrina's vibrator again.
It sounds like a vibrator.
It's her fan. It's a computer fan, guys.
I feel like
Yeah, they
I feel like it, Yeah, Josh Peck, wasn't it? I thought it was his surname. So also people need to understand the timeline of when all of this major stuff happened as well. Like, it was towards those mid to later years, and you were gone by then, Kat. You were like living your life. You're in college. it's you know, the what ifs of the situation are big as well, as you said, with the whole, you know, Amanda show thing. If you had gotten that show instead of Amanda, who knows? Like, would that have changed your relationship? I know it seems like there's a lot of problems with, and we're not talking out of school here. Amanda has a lot of problems with her parents and her mental health and da-da-da-da-da-da. That's a perfect breeding ground for stuff like that to happen, to not only get a star of a show, but supporting cast members to rot. Like, every horror story that a star has, I'm sure that, you know, there's writers and, you know, grips and cameramen that have horrible stories, which we'll talk about in some other stories we're going to cover today. But it's such a game of, you know.
And I think it's important, though, that, like, even if we reflect on our own workplaces, things are so dynamic. Things change over time. Mm-hmm. And what may be true at that point was not what was happening at this point. So, and I can even liken that to my own workplace. You know, I've worked in the same organization for 8-9 years now, and my experiences have varied very differently over each year of that working environment. So different people, different dynamics, things change. And it's kind of, I get, like, this documentary is, let's be honest, they all are out to make money. They don't make documentaries unless there's something they're going to make money out of. And I just hope that,
well, that's not,
you know,
fair.
No, I just hope that it's not, you know, smearing people, like, or tarnishing other people into the same thing, when it may not have, like, as you said, Katrina, you did not see or be part of any of what is being talked about.
I mean, they could genuinely be trying to expose corruption in a children's network.
True.
I mean, and if it's all true, I mean, and if there was pedophiles working at Nickelodeon, right, that is a fucking huge issue. Like, how does that happen? How do people on a sex offender registry get a job? I mean, that would be like them working at a school. How does that happen? How does that get by?
Well, yeah. I think they are actually very good filmmakers. I think they take their
definitely
very seriously, and I think they uncovered a lot of really dark stuff that hasn't been really talked about openly. So I think they did a great job of that.
And we're not going to
list back then. Was that big of a thing? Like, the sex offender list? Like, was that like a public thing? You know, like, again, just
back then.
I think we could.
Over the years, I have had a few journalists call and say, oh, did anything bad ever happen? Did anyone approach you with a foot fetish? And I was like, no. On Instagram all the time, but nothing like that when I was a kid.
All right. I think the important thing to note is that this is just the trailer, okay? And we know that trailers can sometimes promise big things and not deliver. I think the conversation would be better continued a little bit later down the track when we know what the content of
make four separate episodes. So they got some content.
Yeah. So once we can all digest the content, I think we will understand more about what the focus of the actual documentary is. But as Jeff said, if it's opening up a conversation about anything, then it's a good thing. Whether they went about it the right way, who knows?
it airs March 17th at 9 p.m. LA time on ID.
Or streaming.
Two episodes on the 17th and then two episodes on the 18th.
So we might have to have a bit of a recap. Everyone might have to have a shaky drink. But thank you, Katrina, for you know, coming in and speaking about it, because I know that when stuff like this happens, you're like, oh, wait, what? what's happening to me now? But it's, I think that, you know, it's important.
And you know you're going to be on TMZ again now, Katrina. It's just inevitable.
for people to understand the difference in, you know, perspective and, you know, the different stories that go into making something like this, that it's not, yeah, all the doom and gloom. And that is definitely someone's experience, but someone else can have a completely different experience. And, yeah, speaking of... What a great segue. Workplaces can be very, very messy. But this one seems to have been super messy because the war of Charmed will not stop. I thought this was old news, but these girls are not letting sleeping dogs lie. They are fucking at it with them. So much so now that even like co-stars that did like an episode, I like chiming in and going, well, this was my experience, like we were just talking about with Katrina's story. But Alyssa Milano has been driven to comment on the comments that Rose, Shannon, and Holly Marie Combs have about her. And have you guys read what Alyssa said?
Look, I think, no, I didn't yet, because I just read the comment. It was like, that was a waste of time reading it. And I'm like, well, thanks for that. I think it was a guy, Ked, or somebody who always comments on our articles. So, I'm like, thanks, man. Like, then I'll save my time. But so, we're here to talk about it.
Yeah. To start off with, she squarely puts, she goes, I feel like I have to respond to what these other three women are saying about me. It's like, oh, okay. So you're the victim straight away. Interesting talk. Interesting talk. And then she goes on to say that really nothing. She goes on with all these words about feelings and interpretations and doesn't really answer any of the allegations against her. Her thing is that she feels sad for the fans, that people can't get over something that happened 25 years ago.
She feels bad. She's in a bad light, and that they actually got rid of the wrong one. They should have just nerfed her ass then, and everyone would have had a great time.
What a cop out! She's like, I feel sorry for these women. Like, and then Shannon has responded on stage. Shannon has responded on stage. Rose has responded on stage, and Holly Marie Combs did a fucking 4-page Instagram post about it because she said she felt like she's the middle child in the situation and the middle child needs to speak up. And I've seen a comment on TikTok saying it can't be everyone else, Alyssa, when all of these people are saying stuff about you, but everyone's like, Alyssa Milano does so much for charity and she's this and she's that. I'm like, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you can be two things. You can be a charitable, wonderful person that wants to give that money, time, awareness, and other things. You can also be a raging cunt at work.
Yeah, or just don't get along with the personality clashes happen. But the way that not
a couple of years ago, she said that she regretted her part in being competitive and not being more like, you know, friendly.
But she doesn't regret getting someone fired because she gave them an ultimatum. As Shannon said on stage, she took away my livelihood from that show where she was not only an actor, she was directing episodes, she was producing episodes, she was doing those things, and it tarnished her career even further from what happened on Beverly Hills 90210 because she got fired twice. So who's the
problem? I think that was an era where they were pitting a lot of female stars were made to feel in competition with each other. And I think it was a lot more shit that went on that we don't know about. But it happened on so many shows. It happened on Charmed. It happened on Buffy. It happened on all of those big shows that featured female leads where they were like, it was kind of like even with the Royals, like which one's the goodie, which one's the baddie, like, oh, Megan and Kate. Like it still goes on and it's just toxic shit that people run with and make it worse and perpetuate it.
Yes, but I can see how quite specifically to that show, those girls were pitted against each other because they were
all the star.
They were all the same age, same hair color, same face, same look, and they could all compete out there in the rest of the entertainment industry for every single role because they were all the exact same cookie cutter type.
And that's what they said. Everything was fine at the beginning when it was like all about sisterhood and female empowerment and da-da-da. It's when the magazine covers started calling what that one and one, but not the other, and da-da-da-da-da, that it got to be an issue.
Something similar happened on Buffy with Charisma and Sarah Michelle, and they were like, put it loggerheads. And
I don't doubt that Shannon Doherty is difficult to work with at times. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a difference between, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with Holly Marie Combs either, because she said that Alyssa shouldn't have gone to the mediators and shouldn't have expressed her feelings. If they're her feelings and she felt bullied and whatnot, then she's more than, you know, talk about it. But when it came down to the ultimatum, it's her or me, that's squarely in your court,
Boo. Yeah, you don't weaponize your feelings. You shouldn't.
They actually did the same thing to Shannon and Holly. They said, we'll get rid of Alyssa, and they said no.
So what? Wait, doesn't that just make them okay? So then, why does that make though Alyssa wrong? So because she was
uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make her wrong, but the ultimatum, she's weaponizing her experience against someone else.
But okay, right. So she hated working with Shannon, didn't want to work with Shannon. She's like, either you get rid of her, or I'm gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
So go.
You don't want to leave your job, but you want her gone, you're going to say, oh, I'm going to leave. Fuck them. No, you're going to say, get rid of her, or I'm going to go.
It should have been someone that is in charge of that should have taken care of the situation.
Someone in charge of that went, which one's worth more money to me? And Alyssa decided Alyssa was.
Alyssa had a better public image. I mean, Alyssa had that wholesome image from Who's the Boss and da-da-da, like, not Melrose Place, but
that she went to the mediator and that the parents or whoever threatened to sue them if they fired her. Then there's a story, right?
But at the end of the day,
she's not a villain. If they couldn't get along and they were both bitches to each other,
I think it's her doubling down and not
taking responsibility. Thank you. I couldn't get it out.
Yeah, but I don't hear Shannon taking responsibility for being a bitch either. I hear Shannon not playing the victim because, oh, I have cancer, so I'm going to be like, oh, I got fired. But she's not saying I got fired because I was being a bitch.
Yeah, she can play the bitch card too. She absolutely did.
That's why in that new series of 90210, like Shannon was the bitch that everyone was scared of when they brought her back. Like she's owned it.
I love Shannon Doherty. I don't want to see anything bad happen to this chick. I fucking genuinely love her, and I think her getting fired sucks. I hated that she left 90210. So I don't like this situation, but at the same time, I mean, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You can't get along with people. That's on you.
But I think it's...
Figure it out.
Yeah. Like, if they weren't going to do that to Alyssa and then Alyssa do that to Shannon, it's murky waters, but it shouldn't have been left in there. Yes, they are the stars of the show, but the show should have been the bigger focus.
Sure. It means that the show must go on, though.
It did for many seasons.
Those two were better team players because they weren't going to get rid of the three. But then it means Alyssa then wasn't a team player. Was like, no, I'm not fucking doing this, right? Sure. Yeah. So yeah, sure. Does that make Alyssa more of a self-preservation
person?
Yeah, sure.
But it does. But look, I think the one thing you can rely on is that they brought in Rose McGowan as, you know, the peppy little sister, peppier than anyone else. But you can always rely on Rose for a kappa. And after Shannon had a bit of a weepy moment on stage, Rose McGowan comes out with, she goes, I'd just like to put a pin or a full stop on your sentence. If you don't mind, and they seem to have developed a nice relationship. And she goes, winners don't let losers dictate history. I was like,
the nails are still dark. She's not a fan.
She's not a fan.
I don't know that.
I mean,
listen.
How harsh is that?
Rose McGowan is another one, right?
Yeah.
I feel horrible for her. I feel like she's a very sad story, but she's also fucking, you know, a few grapefruit short of a fruit fucking salad.
Jeffrey, you just given me the best segue as well. We feel sad for these people, but some people are a few grapes short of a picnic. And if you haven't seen the trailer for another documentary, you're gonna wanna watch this fucker. Where is Wendy Williams is gonna premiere on in Lifetime? The psych ward. Oh my god.
Ow.
If you have
how's she
not
doing?
Seen, if you have not seen stop the it trailer to this documentary,
no.
This is
play it.
That shit.
We can't play. We can't play multiple trailers.
I'll be right back. Just pop.
Oh, you're really getting
it. Is it is channeling the rise and downfall of TV hosts, and you know, she was like hot for a hot minute there, Wendy Williams, yeah, and she disappeared and was, I guess, fired from her own show.
The Wendy she was Williams unwell, show, wasn't she? She was
well,
an unwell lady.
We're gonna find out about it because Wendy, she is physically and mentally unwell. Like, if you watch this documentary, it is the tip of the iceberg, but you go, holy balls. This
you can't just watch it without us, Jeff.
This woman who seemingly had it all together has is a very sick woman. She's in the trailer, it shows her her physical issues. She's got she can only feel only has 2% feeling in her feet.
Did they ever say what caused that seizure when she was on air? Remember when she was like, "Oh, back
no,
to the
show." This is the thing, and I was about to say that she had famously had a seizure on live television.
On air.
Seizure, stroke? I thought it was a stroke.
I think they only said it was a seizure.
Well, she wasn't when she was or anything. She just like went down.
Yeah, she was like, oh.
Yeah, like, oh.
It looked like a stroke because she couldn't speak properly and all that kind of stuff. But it's also showing, look, and I think they have to be careful, but it's in the trailer, alcohol problems, big financial problems. She's in a financial conservatorship at the moment because she cannot manage her own money.
Wow.
And
she's a conservator.
Allegedly broke, admit, but she's saying that she's not allowed to see her family.
Oh shit!
Well, there's probably more to that. It'll all be in that documentary.
Exactly. So this is another trailer that's baiting, and going, "Hey, you want it?" But I knew Wendy was a mess because she's messy. That's the kind of, it's kind of talk show host to us. She's the one who
I find
like,
her endearing for being messy. I think like she's a real person. I like it. blown away.
I told this bitch to watch the trailer nearly a week ago, and he's like, oh yeah. What the fuck, right?
My, I didn't even finish it, yo. This bitch
is crazy.
I feel so bad. Why are her eyes bugging out her head like that? What is that?
I think it's part of her medical condition, Jeff.
Wow.
That's horrible. But yeah, but it's not in every shot. And then she's sitting there, she's telling them to fucking leave the goddamn Kettle One bottle. Like, she is sipping on the sauce, and her kid's like, my mama, she worked enough. What is she doing? She is fucked.
That's the thing. Like, it'll be interesting to see what that narrative is because her family are allegedly looking out for her, but she's not allowed to see them.
She got no money.
Nope.
He said she want to be back on TV, girl. Not like that. You don't, baby. You look like Dollar.
I don't think she'll survive getting back on TV.
I have to see it.
In that state.
Did you watch Hey Paula? You remember that fucking trailer? Paula Abdul had a thing, and she was testing the perfume, and that bitch was on her fucking hands and knees with the perfume, sniffing the fucking perfume.
Simon, stop it.
Oh my god! Oh my god! It was fucking amazing. Oh my god! I mean, you feel horrible, right? Because you don't want to see anybody go through this, right? You see somebody who's a talk show.
I think we all want to watch it though.
I hope that whatever's going on.
We got a few documentaries coming up. We want to see.
So good.
Documentary hour. Christina, you're going to hate the next one, but you weren't here last week, so we have to deal with the fallout.
As I said,
there would be, because Justin couldn't leave well enough alone.
Uh-oh.
And decided to fuck with her. She came back. She napalmed the building. She's done. Brittany.
I already know what that means.
How good is it? I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. So Brittany, famously in her book, wrote about Justin crying when
she beat him
in basketball, which is cute. Like, okay, that's fine, whatever. But after his, non-apology, she stepped forward was prompted to step forward and do the right thing. Brittany was a bit miffed when he said that he's sorry to absolutely fucking nobody. The caption for this beautiful shot reads, "Somebody told me someone was talking shit about me on the streets. Do you want to bring it to the court or will you go home crying to your mum like you did last time?" I'm not sorry.
See, you don't fuck with people that don't care. Like, she don't care what she says. If unless you're willing to go there with her, fuck it, just leave it be.
Why does she keep posting shit on fucking Instagram, though? Like,
that was the best post she's done in years. That was brilliant.
That's much better than staring into the camera all fucking scary.
With the makeup done.
I'm not saying it wasn't a good post. It was very delicious. But she should have never apologized to begin with, right?
She should have.
Very wishy-washy. Yes.
She should have, stand your ground.
She should have ended it with a sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I just love it. I'm not sorry. I'm like, fuck you. And
it's
now, look,
very childish.
But he responds. This is the thing.
We're here for it. Come on.
Because they're child stars and obviously can't fucking.
But here's the thing. Guess who's going? You know, he's what? Releasing an album. He's on tour. What's he doing? Whatever the fuck. Guess what's happening?
Promo. This is all promo. His next thing is he wants a sit down interview with someone so he can explain his side of the story.
And you think he's not going
to
get it?
Oh, they of need to sit is. Them both down with Wendy Williams. Oh, delicious.
Oh, God.
The music world is a messy place, as we've discovered. But Toby Keith died this week, guys. Red Solo Cup.
More importantly, he wrote the song "Who's Your Daddy."
Yes, at 62, he passed away from stomach cancer. Poor bastard. So that one kind of knocked me for a six. I'm like, oh, okay, Toby Keith dead. But Music's Night of Nights happened this week, and the Grammys was full of drama.
Kylie
won a Grammy for Australia 20 years after her last one, but. The biggest news of the Grammys, Celine Dion was public on stage presenting after her diagnosis with stiff person syndrome, presenting Album of the Year to Taylor Swift for Midnights, and there has been a lot of reaction about the non-interaction between those two. I think it was just nice to see Celine on stage, and
she thinks Celine's on her
pitch. Hold on, that was her fucking son. He grew up all right. That walked her on stage. I was like, right there, Charles. Hello.
I just saw
at the same time. So as far as I'm concerned, she should just stay retired.
I saw little clips and snippets, but I saw when she came out and the song was playing, Taylor was singing the song. She looked like. Oh my God. Like, she couldn't believe it was her. Like, I think people just love to fucking put, you guys all just said, women against each other. Yep. Love to
mention. Especially Taylor.
I think she was looking at the camera like, oh my God, fucking Celine Dion just gave me a fucking award, right? Like, I think
I think Taylor and Celine are completely fine with each other. Like, it's just everything is picked apart.
That's the picture that I saw of her, like, looking away from her, like, that's to me what it looked like, was her being like, holy fucking shit, do you believe
this? I'm on stage with Celine Dion, like, holy fucking shit.
She made history. That by winning that award, she has made history. She's beaten Frank Sinatra for, like, you know, consecutive Grammy wins. A lot of it, people were like, how dare you not interact with Celine Dion? You didn't hug her, you didn't do this, that, and the other. Now, I did a little bit of a wander around the internet.
These are the same people, though, Steve, that can't even let the girl go to a football game.
Yeah. One of the symptoms of, stiff person syndrome is it has an accelerated trauma response, like flight or fight response. So if she is startled or like pressure, her body reacts in a way that she can't control. So we don't know that she wasn't she knew who was presenting her. They all know who's presenting the awards beforehand. Let's not pretend. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, these people all have seats. It's all in a fucking running order. It's all on a call sheet. Who are we to know that she wasn't told, don't hug her? You know what I mean? Don't physically interact with her, because you don't know. Because there is a photo of them backstage with her arm around her very loosely, like, hugging her. So it's just everyone has their guns out for Taylor. Like,
she wasn't just fucking nervous and didn't feel like attacking Celine. Like, I wouldn't run up to Katrina, even though I would, like, you know, like, when I saw her, I would just automatically hug somebody. Like, there's boundaries, you know, but there's boundaries, you know, like, regardless of who the fuck she is.
Listen, I can't believe that this is what we're talking about with the Grammys, because did you not fucking see Miley Cyrus in that fucking Tina Turner outfit with the hair?
Why did she look like Jane Fonda?
Isn't her dad's hairdresser so good?
Oh, but he's the only one she didn't mention in the thank yous.
Fabulous.
Yes, I noticed. And she goes, she amazing. I didn't see one, but I did forget my underwear.
Yes. I love shit.
So and she says, I just want to thank my hair. That was her post. It said, first of all, I want to thank my hair. And like that was one of her lines in one of her Instagram posts. Like,
She's got big issues with the new wife, considering they were friends. It's like, that's a messy Billy Ray situation we got going on there. It's just like, oh, I don't.
Did you see the whole Jay-Z rant though?
I have some feelings. I was going to get to it. Just hold on one second. Did you guys see Joni Mitchell?
Yes, she was great. That was awesome.
That was insane. I was like, for someone to get up on stage after like strokes and like learning to walk three times, learning to speak four times, it's like, what is that? But I was going to create a new segment, but I ran out of time for the cards and make it. I've got a new segment because Vera's not here, and I'll do it now. It's called You Know Who Can Go Fuck Themselves. And my person this week is Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
He's actually very nice, though. I like Jay-Z, but okay.
Okay, yes. I'm not. This is not. Wait, where is it? I'll put the banner up. Where's the
legend?
Blah, 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 blah. The thoughts. Okay, here we go. First of all, yes. Beyonce is an amazing artist. Has the most Grammys out of everyone. Amazing. Never won Album of the Year. Okay.
That's fine. Happens.
That happens. For you to get up on stage and say that people that were nominated in that category don't deserve the nomination is fucking bullshit.
It is.
Yeah.
Because guess what, bruh? You might have a problem with your wife not getting nominated, but you were sure as fuck happy enough to get up on stage and accept your own award, weren't you? Mm-hmm. If you loved your wife that much, if you're so supportive of your wife and against the Grammys, you reject that award and you make a public statement. You don't go to the fucking show, act like a sad sack for the whole thing, get up and go, oh, aren't I a badass? Then leave after you've had your comment. stick around and own it if you think you're a big bad dude, because let's face it, you're only with Beyonce because Aaliyah wouldn't fuck you. The end.
Woo. Aaliyah died.
Yeah.
She got out of it.
Let's not go there. Okay. That's some dark shit. But Jay-Z, oh, that was just so tone deaf. And why bring your daughter up on stage? It's like,
to put her in that position.
She has a Grammy. Yeah, she didn't deserve it. But your 14-year-old daughter has a Grammy for going.
She does?
Like, yeah, she does. Because she featured on a song that Beyonce was on. So she has a Grammy.
Oh, come on. Okay.
But if you're that passionate about it, don't attend. He would have made more of an impact by boycotting the Grammys. The family, you know, they would have made more of an impact by not attending at all than getting up there and acting like a complete fuckwit and then drinking out of the Grammy and like, but what, you don't want the awards, you do want the awards, you're going to disrespect the awards, you're going to disrespect the people that voted for the awards.
I think he just wants lots of attention.
I'm just like, focus on releasing a good song without your wife. That might work.
Has either one of them really had a big hit in the last decade?
Oh, let's not pretend. Okay. The music may not be for everyone, but Beyonce's last couple of albums have been amazing. It just, they've been up against these monstrous albums. Like Adele, she wasn't going to beat Adele. And with Renaissance, with Renaissance, it's, you know, a queer cultured, black dance music, like that's what it was. She never released a music video for it, any of it. Whereas Taylor Swift has released a music video for a queef she did 2 years ago. 7,000 tracks that she keeps releasing, her old back catalog, unreleased. So, like, the girl has hustled to get album of the year. She hasn't sat back and gone, I'll be out there.
I just don't think anyone should be sore losers because, you know, if someone wins, you should be happy for them and just that's it.
And Taylor like, was the
it's
one
not going to elevate like, you by trying to tear them down.
Taylor and Kelly Clarkson were up dancing, singing for everybody. Like Taylor and Kelly Clarkson were just like living their best fucking lives. And then and they've got other people who sit there going, oh, Lana Del Rey in a sad, sad face. It's like,
is she the one with the bangs and the bow?
Yeah, the black. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought it was funny that Taylor Swift was like dragging her up there and she like did not want to go.
Yeah, because she's collaborating with like this is the thing. She's collaborating with Lana on this on Midnights, but also on the what a fucking flex that was too. Taylor's like, my new album that nobody knows I was making is coming out April 19th, and it'll be viable for fucking album of the year at next year's Grammys. Everyone suck my cock. I'm like, that's a fucking flex. You go. I'm like, you are a winner in my eyes, girl. I'm like, that's good business. She does good business, and I am down for that. Bad business? Prince Charles is like dying. Prince Charles, oh, sorry, King Charles is like dying, y'all.
Good.
You know, it's funny that people have brought up, remember how we posted the prophecies and they said that the king would be replaced this year?
Having been through
something. Oh, shit. You didn't see cancer coming, but there you go.
Having been through something quite similar, I think that it is very telling that Harry was on the boat, on the plane super quick, that there's even talk of Meghan and the kids coming over. In the last 24 hours, a helicopter landed at Buckingham Palace.
I thought it was curable.
That is rare. Yeah, but is this, as people have been saying,
it's not too late.
You've got to look at what the palace are saying, not what they're not saying. So they're saying he can do all the dignitary stuff, but the day to day stuff he's handing over to William. There's a whole big
conspiracy
big conspiracy theory about what's going on with William and Kate, and that she just happened to go into hospital at the same time that he went into hospital. Well, she went into hospital for abdominal surgery that will take her out of action, royal action, for nearly 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You think she got a new knee?
It's got to be me.
Well, everyone's saying that it might be a hysterectomy, which is fair enough, but the recovery time on a hysterectomy is not 6 months.
No.
She might be sick too. We don't know.
On Wednesday, it was working on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. So there is something else happening.
Well, that weird prophecy said that it wouldn't be William that took over. It wouldn't be who we expect.
There's lots of allegations.
Maybe Harry has to.
There's lots of allegations going on. And they have been. We've actually even reported on it that there's been an extramarital affair going on for a long time in Kate and William's relationship.
Well, isn't William there was supposedly a homosexual?
No, he just likes to be pegged. And one of their friends, like, that's the relationship that is
no.
Well, I've just done my research. a royal commentator.
Yeah, is that allegedly that peg thing? Let's put the allegedly.
Well, it was in the media probably 6 months ago. A royal commentator.
The media alleged.
A royal commentator got caught online, like online live, saying that William has had experience with his mother's mental illness, passing tissues to her under the door of the bathroom and listening to her crying and being hysterical. So he knows what to do with Kate. So people are saying that it's not a medical issue at all. It's a psychological issue that's been...
But wouldn't all that pressure do that to anyone, even if you're the most resilient, stable, you know, secure attachment style, if you're just under that scrutiny all the time and you've had children and blah, 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 it could crack anyone.
They control the media and they don't let them say anything bad about her. So what is...
Here's the rest of it.
How old is the littlest one? How old is their littlest kid?
He's only five or six.
Yeah.
So the big problems between Harry and William is the fact that he's having this affair, because what's been happening is William and Kate and their people during that whole time have been planting stories in the media about Meghan and Harry to smokescreen the other problems, and he's like, why won't you stop them doing this to my wife? She wants to kill herself just because you like to be pegged. It's like, this is what people are alleging. So that sounds a lot more feasible.
Harry might be the hero that we never knew we needed.
Yes.
Well, maybe neither one of them will end up being the king.
Exactly.
It'll be like Queen Beatrice.
Yeah. No, they don't like it. But
I want to see Harry all hunky.
Apparently, in all this hullabaloo, in the press.
Fun.
Yes, well, allegedly.
Harry's off the hook.
Well, the male pattern baldness comes from Diana's side. Because they both got it.
Charles has got a thick, luscious head of hair.
Well, Prince Charles has given his blessing on the down low for Fergie and Andrew to get remarried.
Oh yeah, bring Fergie back. Fergie's traumatic.
She's got cancer as well. She's got breast cancer. Cancer and breast cancer. Andrew and Fergie have been living together for nearly 8 years, despite being divorced.
That's weird. I betcha she hasn't had to peg him.
Well, he doesn't sweat, so we wouldn't know, right? He doesn't sweat, we wouldn't know. It's just the way it goes. The royals are just messy, 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 messy people. But we love it. We enjoy it. We're messy people.
They're going to have to reboot that show on Netflix.
Well, that's why the queen's dead. She's out. It's finished. It's over. They'll have to do a next generation.
They can have a spin-off. The Duchess.
The crowd, the college years. We'll call it. It'll be sexy. Yeah, are they all going to move to the beach? You reckon?
Well, it'd be a little bit like 90210, just with royals.
Or Saved by the Bell.
Oh my god! You have Margaret swearing. Oh my god!
Just Beatrice and Eugenie wearing strange hats at each other, going, "Do you know what's going on? I don't know what's going on. Me either. Cool. Rock on. We're rich. You know." That's really all we've got. Brad and Angelina are fighting over wine. I don't think he's won the rights to their winery, but he's an alcoholic, so I don't know whether that's the best idea. Is it?
It's great.
I was about to say, is it good wine? That's the most really important good. Thing. Very
I'll
good.
Drink with you.
Speaking of bad ideas, there's also news. There's going to be another unearned summer movie with Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's coming back. The writer let that slip, so it's not officially announced yet, but Jennifer Love Hewitt's strapping on
her. And Prince Jr. has been approached, so he'll say yeah.
But he's a fucking sad sack too. It's like, cheer up, you cunt. But fantastic news. Mr. Pedro Pascal may be strapping on a superhero suit.
I love him.
He is delicious.
His daddy.
So
looks handsome there. When he was the guest character on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he looked like a nerd and not attractive at all. Ooh. I know it was probably the character who's playing as well, but I didn't even know who you were talking about. You're like, yeah, he was on Buffy, and I'm like, was he?
And then I went and watched that episode. Years ago.
More
I know, but most people look better when they're younger. He got better with age, like Brad's winery.
He's you know, aged into his daddydom, and we love that. We love daddydom. It makes us all happy. Look, we got a thumbs up for Pedro Pascal. We need to talk about it more. So if you're a fan of Uncensored Horror, we locked ourselves in our houses and watched The Strangers this week, Jeffrey. You were not going to be a part of that. So thanks for that. So we watched The Strangers. There's more Uncensored Horror coming. And you never know what else is like just around the corner. We got some things bubbling. Like a dirty yeast infection. We've got things bubbling under. But Katrina A. Johnson. I'm sorry, girl. Katrina A. Johnson. Thank you for joining us today.
I want Katrina to close the show. I want her to close the show.
What are you going to say to the folks today?
Okay. So, in closing, we have to say, let's all get crazy like Wendy Williams.
Yes. All right. See y'all.
No, I thought you were going to say, like, get ready, get set. No. Okay.
Nope.
That's what I want to hear.
Lemonade. Lemonade. See you, folks.
You want that money? $5 billion.
Jeffrey, what are you having for dinner tonight?
I had a meatloaf.
I love meatloaf. That's my favorite.
Everyone just has to relax because I heard someone tell us once upon a time that it's a little bumping.
Don't mean nothing. A little bumping. Don't mean nothing.